Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 84 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Gil-Taka. Thanks for joining me again. Today on the podcast, I've got a quick update and a little bit of discussion for you. I'm also going to bring Tracy on and we will have a moment to hear her update on stuff that she's working on as well. But before we get started, we always want to thank our sponsor, Vortex Canada, for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate it. Vortex, the power of optics. Thanks, guys. And so today on the podcast, I'm going to start out by talking about the sound. So if you're really into sound production and you'd be, you know, you're like, Rod, your mic sounds like crap. And you're right. It does. So if you remember back when I was doing the podcast, which was audio only, I have a bit of a past history in audio production, right? And so I have good stuff. I have a Shure SM7B, right? That's the microphone that Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on, right? Like, it's good stuff, right? I got a preamp. I got all that stuff. If you remember, the quality was really great. It was the quality that I like because I'm kind of a perfectionist. Well, when I started using this new software, I've been going toe to toe fighting this software since day one, since I tried to do this whole video thing. And I don't know what my problem is, but I'm like doing workarounds, getting it. So you'll notice that the sound of this mic is this much better than it was last time. And it will be this much better than it was next time. So anyway, just tolerate it for now. Just bear with me. I'm still working on it. And, you know, I've been in the studio for till 10 o'clock at night trying to fix this stuff. Right. But I have a lot of things that are a lot more important to do, as far as the mission of the CCFR than fool around with the mic, you know, stuff. So just like I say, bear with me. I'm working on it. All right. Now, on to a couple of things. First thing I want to talk about was episode 5 of Gunband Canada Exposed came out. Hopefully most of you have seen it. If you haven't, go to the CCFR channel right now and watch it. It is a wonderful snapshot of gun culture in Canada, and it answers the question, why would anyone need a gun? Now, you know, as I say in the podcast, it's a simple question, but it takes a long time to answer, which is an advantage for anti-gunners. I think we did relatively well. I only have, 22 minutes of content in a half hour show for television format. And I could have gone farther, but, you know, cause it's funny. It's, I think most people see it for what it is, which is, you know, something, it's what an incredible thing. Our community or mainstream media in Canada has never produced anything like that before. Right. Other than what the CCFR produces. But yet people will come in and they'll criticize. They'll be like, well, here's what you should have done. It's like, well, why didn't you do it, right? Why do I have to do it? I want to be out in the bush shooting or fishing or whatever, right? You know, so anyway, we're doing the work. We're prioritizing as much as we can to put into these episodes. But remember, the point of these episodes isn't to preach to the choir. We produce it. You have to spread it. So think of three people in your life that really need to understand why you own guns. If you think that episode explains that properly, and sit them down and make them watch it, send them the link or have them come over or whatever, right? Just say, you have to see this. Now, do you understand? And what else can I tell you? It's, you know, owning firearms, like private firearm ownership is completely appropriate. In fact, as I say in the episode, it's a feature of free societies. Slaves don't own guns. Citizens do. And there's been a worldwide effort to disarm people because that's how the government sees that. You know, they don't see you owning a firearm for all the reasons that you own them, whether it's sports shooting, collecting, inheritance, or hunting. You know, or God forbid you need it. It's a tool that you could use to defend yourself from wildlife, or God forbid you were in danger of being assaulted, raped, or murdered. You could use that firearm as a great tool for that purpose. You know, guns mean a million different things to a million different people. And they are a tool that can be used for so many things. And this is why people place so much value in them, because they fill a whole bunch of requirements in your life. And people, they just don't want to understand it. Why? Because for decades, they've been brainwashed and psychologically beaten down to believe that, somehow private firearm ownership is inappropriate. So anyway, criminals use cars, they use bats, they use knives, they choke people to death, they use fire, right? 9 people died in fire in Nova Scotia, but nobody's worried about that, right? So it's just a pretext to ban guns. So you know what? It has to be resisted. So that's what this episode was about. So if you think we did a good job with it, you can thank the members of the CCFR for making that happen and people that donate to the CCFR. That's who made that happen, right? Like I did the work, but it was you guys that made it happen. Without you guys, I'm just standing here in front of a camera, right? It's nothing. So thank you guys for that. All right. So make sure that you spread it around. Let people know that they have to watch that stuff, or it's again, just preaching to the choir. That's your role. So please help out and do that. All right. Episode 6 is coming up, and episode 6 is, the system is broken. That's what I'm calling it. And basically we're looking at why people can lie about gun, you know, the firearm issue with impunity, and the government takes that information and the media take that information, and that's the information that that is being fed to people. The system is broken. You know, anti-gunners, I've made more invitations than I can count. I've taken the time, just like I reach out to other groups, right, in the firearm industry to try to make peace. I've reached out to anti-gunners and said, hey, let's sit down and have breakfast together. Hey, let's sit down and have a chat. Hey, I'll even take precious membership dollars, and I will make the decision to spend $15,000 and give it to a charity to help inner city youth in Toronto, for you to sit down and have a mature conversation, just one-on-one, just like two regular people for 90 minutes, you know? And what do I get back? A slew of insults, right? So what's really going on? Why is the system so broken? We're gonna have a look at that. And again, you'll have a great tool to show other people, like, this is what the other side is doing, and this is why we can't have a conversation. The reason there's no conversation about this is not because of gun owners. That's a fact. If I could make any point with all this blabbering I just did, it's that fact. It's not because of us, period. So anyway, last thing I want to talk about before I bring Tracy on is Tracy and I will talk about this CCFR versus Wendy thing. We're going to have her cross-examined because the Coalition for Gun Control and Wendy Cukier, I don't want to mispronounce her name, so we'll just call her Wendy, because I don't think I've ever heard her say her own name. Anyway, I'll look around because I don't like mispronouncing people's names. It's disrespectful. So anyway, we have an opportunity to cross-examine her because she and the Coalition for Gun Control have applied for intervener status. So anyway, we put together a fundraiser and we made it provocative to have a little bit of fun. And of course, you know, the anti-gunners, their heads explode, right? Their heads explode over anything that we do. And, you know, it's, I've been doing it for such a long time now. It's just like, oh, whatever, you know, your heads are going to explode no matter what I say. So it's completely irrelevant now. And the problem is they're cry bullies, which is my favorite word, because what they do is they spread hate against you. They incite all kinds of terrible things. They say horrible things about you. They treat you like absolute trash, even though we're the ones, I'm the guy, individual that's extended my hand several times, say, we don't have to talk like this. It never had to be like this in the first place, but nope, it's all the hate's coming from us, right? So I want to just show you, so I went and, you know, I posted a couple of things in defense of our meme that we put up. And it's like, you know what? Don't play yourself off as the victim. I have to put up with threats and all this garbage every single day, like every day, like on a daily basis. Okay. I get hate mail, like actual physical mail in my mailbox. Okay. That's the kind of stuff that I get. So, and I'm not whining about it, right? Because I'm in a divisive area of politics, right? So anyway, they're talking about how we're painting them, we're spreading hate and all this stuff against them. I'm like, what? So check this out. So this is Blake Brown's Twitter feed. And look at this right here. It's like a picture of a gun. So obviously if you're a gun owner, you are obsessed with guns. You're a misogynist. You're Islamophobe. You're xenophobic. You promote intolerance. You're a fascist, of course. You spread hate. And of course, right down here, right by the magazine, you're obviously a racist if you own guns. But you know what? So I don't know how that's not promoting hate of people like me, right? I'm just a gun owner. I follow all the rules. I jump through all the hoops. I responsibly own my firearms. I teach other people how to follow the law. I demand 100% compliance from students, right? Because that's their job as a law-abiding gun owner, right? And how is that not making us look bad, right? So, but yet it gets better. So what Blake likes to do is he likes to publish on his Twitter feed all of these old cartoons, political cartoons. And it's quite interesting. And if you look at these political cartoons, they depict gun owners as emotionally two things, either stupid or violent, right? Stupid or wildly aggressive. And then they depict gun owners as always grotesquely depicted, poor posture, overweight for some reason. They always want to depict gun owners as overweight. And I don't know. I mean, talk about fat shaming. It's kind of interesting. So check this out. These are some cartoons that he has published on his Twitter feed. So this one, you've got politicians have to actually dodge physical gunfire from law-abiding gun owners. Now look at this here. Here's a little zoom in on this. This is how they depict, they even have a sign, right? These are your licensed gun owners. This is who they are, right? This is who they are. Isn't that interesting, right? And talk about, you know, trying to vilify and all the rest of these things that they accuse us of doing. Here's another gun owner. Grossly overweight, completely unreasonable, going rabbit hunting with a rocket launcher, right? Big nose, a scruffy beard, unkept, wearing military fatigues. Here's another one. Again, very grotesquely pictured. Overweight again, aggressive, draw, you know, like he's going to pull guns out. Here's another one. Overweight, stupid this time, right? Got the sleepy look. And you know what? Here, let me zoom in on this. Have a look at this. Yeah. And you know what? It's just a hobby, right? Guns don't mean anything else. It's just a hobby. They're hockey sticks or baseball bats, right? Or golf clubs. That's what guns are. And so obviously all this resistance that you're putting up, you're just a self-serving loser. And then what else they put here? Born, look at this, born to kill stuff. Yeah. Very nice. And of course, she's got to be a total hick. You know, can't even see her eyes, right? She's so dumb. And I got to bear my arms. Look at this guy. National Redneck Association. Pin on his hat, right? And this is how they depict gun owners. That's not promoting a stereotype. Can you imagine if any other minority had to put up with this kind of stuff in Canadian newspapers and professors are sharing it? Can you imagine that? This one, I guess, is supposed to be Preston Manning back in the day. Of course, draws, you know, he's going to pull his guns out at people if they disagree with him. This is another good one. Give up my guns. I'll have to shoot you first. Isn't that something, hey? Yeah, wonderful. And I mean, look at these, right? Always overweight and grotesquely depicted for some reason. I don't know. I guess that's just what they think that is the best way to depict what a gun owner looks like. And of course, you know, if you own a gun, you know, you're basically the Reaper. This is a gooder, I would have to say. Happiness is a warm gun. Again, poor posture, drooling, stupid, armful of guns. And you know, I don't know what this is back here. It's like it says drugs. Sorry, the law requires a prescription for tranquilizers. I don't even know what that means. But again, I guess this is in their desperate attempt to just paint you as just a piece of garbage. But if they're trying to say that, you know, you need a license to get tranquilizers or get drugs, you need a prescription, but you need nothing for guns. How ridiculous, right? Of course, that doesn't do justice to the law in Canada. Here's another one. Overweight again. Dumb, absent look, right? Gun lobby. I guess it's just a case of you always want to accuse people of doing exactly what you're doing, right? And guns don't kill children. This is all about killing children, right? So here we go. Overweight again for some reason and aggressive. I don't know what these bubbles are up over this guy's head, but he's got grenades, you know, just absolutely hyperbolic. The whole thing's insane, but this is, you know, and then of course I call Blake out on that. And then he's like, whoa, these are historic cartoons. What's the problem? You know, like, okay. Yeah, whatever, right? So again, that's just who these people are, and it is what it is. All right. Hopefully you found that interesting, as interesting as I did. Let's bring Tracy on. All right, on the Skype, I've got Tracy Wilson. Wilson!
Gildaka! It's Groundhog Day.
What's that?
It's Groundhog Day.
It is Groundhog Day. Oddly enough, and I don't usually do too much personal stuff, but today is a 31st anniversary from when I met my wife. So,
well,
31 years, man.
The other Tracy in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long time. We're actually, when I'm done this podcast, if I can get it out quick enough, we're going to go for a little, a drive down memory lane. So we're going to go, to the place, the nightclub where we met way back in 1990. Yeah. 1990, and take a picture of us and, go out for dinner and whatever.
I love that. That's good. Are your restaurants open there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They never closed.
Okay, good. Yeah. I can't say the same.
Well, yeah.
That sounds fun.
Well, yeah, they apparently, you know, we wear masks and we social distance and they sanitize everything.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's only for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Okay, so.
2 years.
What problem do you have, Wilson, for 2 weeks? You know? You're so impatient.
Well, I'm just doing my part because I don't want to kill grandma. So.
Right, right.
I am grandma.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Okay. So what do we got on the agenda here?
All right. Well, I wanted to just quickly address club insurance. So as a lot of our viewers will know, we sort of launched this new club insurance program. Rod put out a great video that sort of details the idea behind it. And I've had a lot of emails. So thank you for everybody who's contacted us. I'm keeping a spreadsheet, but I think I've spoken to over 72 clubs as of this morning. So there's huge interest. Of course, for some clubs, it's more expensive. For some clubs, it's less expensive. The idea here is that we are asking clubs to invest in advocacy. There's never been a more important time for clubs to start taking a really active role in the preservation of our sport. And of course, you know, in the future of their club's existence. So yeah, if you've got some questions about the club insurance, there's a link on our website. Go under the insurance tab and hit clubs. On there, you will see an email address, clubs@firearmrights.ca. And that goes directly to me, just so you know who you're talking to. So yeah, if you've got any questions, I'm available to speak on the phone or do a Zoom meeting or whatever. But yeah, just trying to wrangle in some clubs to help us, because of course, everything we do here at the CCFR, which is a lot, it all costs money and takes funding, and clubs are great partners in those advocacy projects. So,
yeah, I worked really hard on that video. The version it's funny, a little story behind the story. I promised that to Tracy for weeks. Right. And then the day that I was working on, I'm like, I will have this video to you today, no matter what. And I think I worked 11 hours on it, and without getting out of the chair, like I think I got out of the chair twice. Right. And I was like, oh, and being the perfectionist to a fault that I am, the music is a little bit loud in one spot, but I'm not going to recompile it. But you know, that video, the reason why I brought it up is that video is a little bit long. But you know what? Just for me to cram in all the important things that we've done, and especially the important things that we've done just since May 1st of last year, it's 10 and a half minutes. So
I know it's crazy. And when you think about it, like we're not a huge, you know, team of staff here. I mean, we've got like 4 full-time staff working remotely. And if you look at the amount of work and projects and advocacy and just everything that we're able to pump out on such a small team, it's pretty incredible. So, yeah, I love the video. And, you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of this thing, you don't really take a minute to kind of appreciate the stuff that you're working on, the stuff that your team is working on. And just to see it all laid out like that was like, whoa, holy. So yeah, pretty meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. it's so if you haven't seen the video, if you go to the CCFR channel, you can find it, and it's called, what is it called? It's called an intro.
Why buy insurance from the CCFR?
That's right. Yeah, I named
it.
Yeah,
it's on our YouTube
channel.
You'd
think I'd remember that, but anyway, that's it's my cross to bear, this terrible memory. But yeah, check it out. And you know what? Watch, if you haven't seen it, go watch it and you spread that around. And if you're a member at a club, please ask your club executive to really consider buying your insurance from the CCFR, because we have to, as Tracy said, we have to fund this stuff or we can't do it. And stuff's really expensive to do these things. And it takes a lot of work to do these things. That's why a lot of the things that we do haven't been done before, because they're a lot of work and they take a very high level of expertise, some of those things. So we just, we need all the help that we can get, especially going forward.
Yeah, 100%. So check out the video. When you're done watching it, I think you're going to feel really motivated. Maybe take a couple of minutes and send it to your club executive. So I'm not going to harp on it too much because we've been beating that, that horse quite a bit, but yeah, we need your help and we're asking for it. So
yeah. Yeah. And I got to, I also have to say, I'm going to interrupt you, that I love that new background, man. It's awesome. It looks really great on the screen.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Those of you who may remember, I did have sort of this square log and very Canadiana type background, but it was like that, those honey colored logs. And to be honest, I felt like it was too close to my hair color. It also didn't really go with anything else in my house. And, you know, in these times of pandemic, we're all turning our houses into offices and studios and everything else. So this is actually in my rec room right now. And yeah, it just was kind of getting on my nerves and bugging me. And on the weekend, my oldest daughter was over and we've been watching a lot of HGTV, which of course is all about home improvements and doing projects. And yeah, we went crazy with it. So I do really like it. It's a little more gray tone instead of the honey blonde, and I like it.
Yeah, it looks like a radio station in there. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and, cool. And no green screen.
There's no green screen, yeah. No. And that's an actual, you know, my sign hanging on the wall. And it's fun when I'm doing interviews or participating in panels in some of my other projects or even just having Zooms with politicians. I still use this. So it's kind of cool because they're like, oh, I get a lot of compliments on my background. So
well, I was just reminded we have some of these CCFR signs to raffle off. So we got to, you know,
we got to figure out what to do.
Let me correct that to hold a contest, but, you know, got to be careful, but, we got to get going on that. So we do have two more of those signs and we will, make them, prizes in a contest sometime really soon. We got to get on that. I keep forgetting about it.
I know I have them here at my house, so they're safe and sound. They're still all wrapped up in bubble wrap and protected in their original packaging. But yes, there will be two up for offer. So should be pretty exciting.
Cool. And next up we have, I'll create a little intro to this. So one of the reasons why we're pushing this big insurance thing right now is because we had, we have a new relationship for insurance. We've teamed up with Capri CMW, who, as I said in the video, specializes in this kind of insurance. And as a result of that, not only do we have really, really easy to sell and easy to understand range insurance, but we also have legal defense again. So why don't you just mention something about that?
Yeah, so this was a bit of a struggle. We had legal defense insurance for the first couple of years at the CCFR, and here's the thing, is it worked, right? People used it. And the problem was is that, you know, we ended up losing our coverage. Now, the difference between the regular liability that's included with your CCFR membership and the legal defense is the liability that's included with your membership, the basic insurance, that covers you should you be sued. Basically, if you injure somebody or damage someone's property while, you know, conducting legal firearms activities like hunting, sport shooting, and even fishing and archery, then you would be covered if someone sued you, which is pretty important. It's, you know, it's a very safe sport. So we've actually, in over 5 years, I was actually just talking to the insurance guy this morning, about this. We've never had a claim because nobody ever gets hurt. So that's great. That means our community is very safety conscious. Now, the difference with the legal defense is people often ask me, what is that for? Well, that's for if you find yourself in trouble and have to go to court. So it's a different thing. One is for if you get sued. One is for if you get charged. It covers you should you have charges stemming from the improper use, storage, transportation, display, or handling of a firearm or bow. Another great thing it helps with is if your firearms license is suspended, revoked, or your renewal is declined. Now, this doesn't really apply to new people waiting to get their first license, but let's say you go to renew and, you know, you fill everything out and they decline it. What do you do? There is no recourse. This is something I've actually been lobbying for a long time. I don't want to call it like an ombudsman, but some sort of recourse for gun owners. Well, we haven't had anything. This is your recourse. It's your only recourse. So should you be suspended, revoked, or declined, you can use this insurance. It will cover your legal costs to fight it and get your license. There's some extensions. If you have, let's say, your spouse and kids are all in your house and you've got, you know, everybody's got their pals or our pals, you can basically have a family deal to cover everybody under your house. So, you know, accidents may or may not happen, or one of your kids might not be properly transporting their firearm or make a mistake. Again, we're very safe people. This insurance, for the most part, is not needed, but I think of it similar to my fire extinguisher. I've never had a house fire. My house has never burnt down. I've never lost everything I own, but I still have a fire extinguisher, because if I ever do have a fire and I don't have a fire extinguisher, I'm going to be in big trouble, right? Man. So I often think of it like that. There's also unlimited telephone legal advice included with this policy. So if you go to the to the CCFR website, go to the insurance tab, at the very bottom is legal defense. You can read all about it there. The regular price, if you were to buy it through firearm legal defense, is $95 per year for this insurance, which if you think about it, you can't even retain a lawyer for under, what, $1,000 or $1,500. And here you're covered for $85 for the whole year. If you don't use it, at least you had peace of mind that if you needed a lawyer at your fingertips, you would have had one, right? The CCFR, if you get it through the CCFR and you're a CCFR member, it's $85 for a year instead of $95. So you get a nice discount there. I have had this all along because I find it important. Not that I ever intend to break the law or get myself in trouble renewing or anything else, but once again, you never know when these things happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's one of those things you don't expect it until it happens, right?
Right?
So protect yourself and protect your family.
So you should use the link on the website, and you have to use the, there's a code, right? Coupon code?
No. So if you go to the CCFR website, go to the insurance tab, just hover over it. It'll give you a couple options. At the very bottom is legal defense. Click on that and you can buy it straight through there, and it automatically puts in your discount. So the difference between buying it through the CCFR or buying it through firearm legal defense, we're going to save you $10 a year.
Cool.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
And then the last thing we want to talk about is CCFR versus Wendy.
Well, did I ever kick a hornet's nest, eh?
Yeah. Well, you didn't see it, but before you came on, I showed all these cartoons that Blake Brown likes to share, stereotyping and denigrating and just promoting a dim view on people that specifically licensed gun owners. But anyway, yeah. So they, we put CCFR versus Wendy, because this is the first time that we're ever going to have the opportunity to actually have her cross-examined under oath, by the way. And their heads just blew up.
Well, it's funny too, because, I wrote the article that's on the website that talks about it. I wrote it myself, and I called it a showdown because, you know, I've been involved in some court cases. I have watched a lot of court. I've read about court, and that's what it is. It's a court battle. It is a showdown, right? So You know, it wasn't meant as inflammatory language. It was meant as, we're going to court. Like, what do you think it is? It is a court battle, right? So she's intervened willingly on our case, or at least applied to. The judge has yet to make a decision. However, I don't have much reason to believe that she would be denied intervener status. But the idea here is that she, you know, she has stepped into our court challenge and some of the other ones willingly, threw herself in the arena. And then, of course, they're completely shocked when I, you know, when I come out with this idea that, hey, this is our opportunity to not only have, you know, some great exchanges that will most definitely help our federal court challenge, but it's a great opportunity to finally dispel some of the stuff she's been saying about gun owners for decades. Mm-hmm. So,
and
yeah, it's funny to me that they're so threatened about showing up in court and having to be under oath when it's literally what they asked for.
Yeah.
This is what they want.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, and just so people know, the reason why we came out with this specific story, and it's a fundraiser, right, is because the choice that I have to make with Mike Loberg is, Wendy's intervening. Do we oppose her intervention, or do we not oppose it and opt to cross-examine her evidence, right? And for just so people know, right, for me to make that decision, it's like, well, I don't know, we could oppose it or whatever. But if we choose to cross-examine her, that's probably anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 decision that I have to make on behalf of our members. You know, to spend $20,000 to $40,000, because it's not just like, okay, we're going to have somebody go in there and question her. Our team has to sift through almost everything she's ever done. And actually you are doing that. And I'm doing that, reading every study, reading every comment, reading everything to make sure that we have every question that we could possibly ask her that is relevant to the evidence that she's providing, and uncover everything, because you know, we may not get a chance like this again. And if you look at what came out of the Murray Smith questioning, there's some really interesting things there. And when they're on the record, on the court record like that, they live in perpetuity. So, like, that's actual evidence, right? So, again, when I'm saying, oh, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do this, like, I have to fund that somehow. So, you know, when Mike's like, oh, I'm like, well, how much do you think it'll be? And he goes, well, it's going to be at least a week of research and then the day of, you know, and I'm like, that sounds like $25,000 to me. And he's like, yeah, probably. And I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah. You know? I don't know if I can speak for all gun owners, Rod, but I, you know, I am involved in these discussions with you, and you always pop up as the, you know, the voice of, you know, a reasonable voice. And of course I'm like, let's do it all. Let's do everything, you know, and you're right. There is a cost to everything. There's hours and hours and hours of research, required, and preparation and questioning, and just the research alone is hours and hours and hours. And I had somebody say to me today, cause I, of course I'm kind of doing this, this shout out to people to do some for us. Right. And I mean, I'm spending hours and hours reading as well. And people are sending me these document dumps, and it's pretty cool. So, you know, somebody said to me, well, isn't that what the legal team is for? And I'm like, yeah, it is what the legal team is for. But if I look at what we are paying the legal team, on average per person per hour, like it could balloon outrageously expensive. And on the other hand too, is a lot of people in our community who have been in this fight, whether it be for 2 years or 25 years, they have that historical knowledge and that background in how we got here, how she got here, and how this became the way it is. And of course, you know, constitutional legal teams, as amazing as they are, may not have that same background. So it is going to be a joint effort between the legal team, the CCFR team, and of course our community at large. And I'm asking people, you know, if you're listening to this and you're out there and you've got some information, or you've got a study to combat one of her studies, or anything you might think would be of interest, even if you're not even sure, just send it to me, because it only takes a minute to send it by email. You can send it to tracy.wilson@firearmrights.ca. We'll sort of comb through that. Loberg and I have been combing through stuff already this morning and sort of gathering all these files and evidence, and then it'll be hunker down and read and read and read. So, I mean, I like to think I have a good handle on the whole battle with Wendy over the years, but it's amazing how much stuff has come in that, of course, you know, I wasn't really in the fight in the same way I am now back then. Mm-hmm. So I'm humble enough to admit I don't know everything and I need your help. So,
yeah. Well, the other aspect. So, yeah, if you can help us out, that's great. You can find that link at firearmrights.ca. And if you click on the story that Tracy wrote about it, the CCFR versus Wendy or whatever it is. You know,
showdown.
Yeah, the showdown, right? But we'll make this quick because we've been on for a while. But you know, their heads just exploded with that, and then there's all this insinuation that we're promoting hate, we're spreading hate and inflammatory. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, I think about all this stuff, you know, when I'm driving and stuff. Now the studio's now out of my house because I needed two studios, one for the podcast, one for the TV show and everything else that we do. And so I got to drive to work now, it's not bad, but you know, during that drive, I'm just thinking, you know, I think about things and whatever. And it's, you know, it's just amazing to me how these people, you know, crawl into our lives. They want to take our stuff away because we've done nothing but comply with the law and be good citizens and, you know, hold charity shoots and be great community members and all this great stuff. Right. And they want to crawl into our lives and disrupt things. Then we say, like, hang on, you know, what evidence do you really have? And their response is to call us racists and misogynists and all these horrible things. And it's interesting. And then we're so bold to say we're going to take Wendy on in court, CCFR versus Wendy. And they're like, you know, this is basically violence. And so exactly. Right. And the thing is, and I'm like, what's going on with them as humans? And it's, they have no ability to take accountability for their own behavior, you know, depicting gun owners as overweight, aggressive, or stupid. You know, you didn't see all these cartoons that I put up. Like, they do all this stuff every single day. That's what generates, if people hate them, they hate them because they that's how they treat gun owners. You know, and they can't, it's just, I just find it interesting, right? That as people, they can't take ownership of anything that they do. It's really, if you look up narcissistic personality disorder, it's all actually right there. And don't get me wrong, we have our own narcissists in our community, right? People that I deal with in our community that I'm like, okay, they have delusions of grandeur. They, you know, they're never accountable. They're always the victim, you know, all that stuff. But it makes it so that, and it never had to be like this. It makes it so that it's just very difficult to have any kind of civil discourse. So while they talk about civil discourse, they act so uncivilized, and then they're on the fainting couch the minute that our messaging gets a little bit rough for them. It's just really interesting.
It is. And they talk about, you know, the abuse and threats and things that they have to put up with. And I'm like, I don't really know anybody who has a file thicker than mine. And I mean, I can sometimes be a little aggressive on social media. I've been working on that over the years and trying to refine my message a little bit. You know, a lot of it's out of frustration because at the end of the day, I am a good person. I'm a good mom and a grandma and take care of my folks and, you know, love my community and, you know, my entire family has served this country and they can demonize me all they want. At the end of the day, their opinion isn't valid to me. And if you're going to inject yourself into my life and, make demands of the government to punish me for things I haven't done, then yeah, guess what? It is 100% a battle. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. That's a day in the life of the gun lobby, I guess, right?
Yeah.
That's what we signed up for. Yeah. More or less. Whatever.
That's whole fight is just to get people to stay out of my life.
Yeah.
And that's
why at the end of the day, if they ever sat down, you know, there's no way to escape that. Like, I'm not trying to put my influence into their life. It's the other way around. I'm just trying to be left alone. And they don't understand that the harder they push, the more angrier people are getting. And it's not by me or you putting a picture of the two of us with verses in the middle. It's because of their behavior. And you know what? this could all be done in a lot better manner. And I've always held out my hand countless times. Let's sit down. I'll even pay charities, you know, on your behalf, my members' money, right? Our member dollars are sacred dollars, and I'm willing to spend them and send those to a charity to have you sit down and us have a productive conversation about gun control. And, you know, apparently we're the villains, but anyway, we go on all day about that. So, yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming on. And, again, ask your club if they will, if they'll consider buying their insurance from the CCFR, consider buying legal defense insurance. We have that now. You can find that all, over at the website. And thanks for coming on, Tracy.
Awesome. Thank you, Rod. Have a great day.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks to Tracy Wilson for coming on and all her work. If you want to contribute to the legal challenge, we'd greatly appreciate the help. You can do that over at firearmrights.ca. And also, if you want to contact your club executives and other members at your club and see if they'd be interested in buying their club insurance from the CCFR, we'd greatly appreciate that help. They can contact us at clubs@firearmrights.ca, clubs@firearmrights.ca, and send them that video. If they haven't gotten it somehow, when we sent it out, send them that video. You can find that on the CCFR channel, why buy insurance from the CCFR or whatever. That video really lays out the case of why it's the right moral decision to buy your insurance from the CCFR and what we're going to do with the money that we make from that. So it's really as simple as that. So anyway, if you want to become a member or donate, we'd love it. Go to firearmrights.ca. You can check that out. Other than that, thanks for watching, and we'll see you all next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.